Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The police will not conduct special operations on Czech roads over the Easter weekend. Prague's transport authority will carry out special tests for the coronavirus. And the Czechs were beaten 1-0 by Wales in a World Cup qualifier. The president of the Czech National Police Force, Jan Švejdar, says no special measures will be taken over the coming Easter weekend to ensure people are observing government rules aimed at stopping the spread of COVID-19. The police chief said that while it might involve more work, officers would carry out the same operations as every weekend. Mr. Švejdar said police conducted between 100,000 and 120,000 checks daily when current measures forbidding travel between districts were introduced. Now it's between 90,000 and 100,000 a day. Meanwhile, police in Prague are continuing to deploy additional officers at spots where people are gathering because of the current warm weather in order to check adherence to measures aimed at curbing the spread of COVID-19. A spokesperson said that on Tuesday, when it was also sunny, police had to take action at a number of places in the city, including Náplavka, Rigrovi Sady, and at a beer garden at Ohrada in Prague 3. People are currently forbidden from drinking in public and respirators are compulsory. Officers carried out around 1,600 checks in central Prague on Tuesday, as well as 8,000 at city limits, as they enforced a ban on movement between districts. 8,568 new cases of COVID-19 were registered in the Czech Republic on Tuesday, 2,400 fewer than on the same day last week, continuing a downward trend. It was the first time since early February when less than 10,000 new cases were confirmed on a Tuesday. Over 7,500 people are hospitalised with the virus. The coronavirus reproduction number stands at 0.85. Prague's public transport authority will employ special biosensors and air collection systems on its services with a view to ascertaining the possible presence of the coronavirus. In April, it will collect around 500 samples from surfaces and the air on buses, trams and metro cars and stations, a spokesperson said on Wednesday. Experts from the Institute of Physics at the Czech Academy of Sciences will cooperate on the project. The results will be published around the start of June. The next edition of one of the Czech Republic's biggest arts events, the Colors of Ostrava Music Festival, will take place over 4 days in July of 2022, the organisers announced on Wednesday. The huge festival, which is held in a striking former industrial zone in Ostrava's Dolní Vítkovice area, didn't take place last year either. Tickets bought for the 2020 edition will still be valid next year. The Czech Republic lost 1-0 to Wales in a qualifier for the 2022 World Cup in Cardiff on Tuesday night, succumbing to a goal in the 81st minute. Both sides had a player sent off. After suffering their first defeat, the Czechs are now second in their qualifying group behind Belgium, with 4 points from 3 games. Prior to the game, the Czech side did not take the knee, a gesture many teams used to show support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Instead, they adopted what they called a neutral, apolitical stance, pointing to the UEFA Respect badges on their jerseys. And finally, a look at the weather. It should be mainly overcast in the Czech Republic on Thursday with an average high temperature of 18 degrees Celsius. Friday is expected to be sunny, but cooler. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Here's what's coming up in today's programme. The government makes adjustments to the coronavirus measures in place for Easter. The Božena Němcová Museum will celebrate a milestone anniversary. And later we will continue our Czech series, this week looking at the legendary Java motorcycles. All that is coming up, so please stay with us. Czechs are heading for a second Easter marked by coronavirus restrictions. Although people will have more time to dwell on the spiritual aspects of the holiday, there are concerns that for many the loss of loved ones and fears of what the future may bring will make the loneliness of the present days that much harder to bear. Daniela Lazarová reports.
Traditionally, Easter in the Czech Republic is a time of get-togethers. Families meet, neighbours enjoy a few shots of homemade plum brandy and barbecue, carolers go from home to home, sweethearts give each other painted eggs, and boys chase girls to give them the traditional Easter whipping with braided willow branches. None of that is going to happen. There is a state of emergency in place, and people have been advised to spend Easter with close family members only. Travel between districts for non-essential reasons is still banned, and there is a night curfew in place between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. The shops will be closed on Friday and Monday, although people will be able to shop for essential goods at the weekend. Farmers markets, which usually do good business around Easter, are banned, and after some initial confusion, the Ministry of Trade agreed to allow the sale of Easter decorations. Recreational sports activities outdoors are allowed, with an accent on individual sports. People biking, running, or hiking in remote areas can do so without a face mask, but must remain within their district. The night curfew will be briefly lifted for those who wish to attend Easter Mass, but due to the distancing rules in place, churches will only be able to accommodate a few believers. The rest will have to watch the Easter Masses online. The usual Easter processions and the traditional foot-washing ceremony on Maundy Thursday will not take place. People attending Mass will have to have a respirator, respect social distancing rules, and will not be allowed to sing. The Archbishop of Prague, Cardinal Dominik Duka, told Czech television that the Easter Mass from St. Vitus Cathedral, which he traditionally celebrates, will be streamed live. The Cardinal said he was heartened by the fact that 8,000 people had watched the Mass online on Flowering Sunday, far more than could fit into the cathedral, which accommodates 6,000 people without distancing rules in place. The Cardinal said the main message this Easter would be that the restrictions in place do not mean people cannot reach out to those in need in other ways.
Many of us will come out of this test stronger and more open, but for some the ordeal will be hard to bear and may leave lasting scars. Not just from the loss of loved ones or because they will suffer long-term effects from COVID. A great deal will depend on us all, because we can alleviate some of their pain if we are more empathetic and more considerate of others. Moving on now, some special events planned to mark the 200th anniversary of the birth of writer Božena Němcová last year were muted due to the onset of the coronavirus pandemic. But a literary museum dedicated to the memory of the mother of Czech literature in Česká Skalice, where she attended grammar school, plans an extraordinary spring season to celebrate another milestone. And Brian Kennedy has more on that.
The Božena Němcová Museum reopened its permanent exhibition last year following a complete renovation from floor to ceiling and the installation of new lighting and modern display cases designed to best preserve artifacts from her life, including original manuscripts of short stories and editions of her famous novel, Babička, or The Grandmother. But few had a chance to see it. Now, says Martina Zališová, head of the town's cultural department, the plan is to open the Božena Němcová Museum on May Day, a holiday originally tied to an ancient festival of spring and symbolic rebirth.
This year we are commemorating the 30th anniversary of the official founding of the oldest library museum, not only in our country, but in Central Europe. It is also among the oldest in all of Europe. So this is one of the topics we want to remember. There are always many themes in a given year. We also have the 155th anniversary of the Prussian-Austrian War.
On a private tour of the permanent exhibition, along with a Czech radio correspondent, museum documentarist and educator Martina Kolinska picked up a box with the words Legacy, Božena Němcová, yet to be sorted for display to the public. What could be inside?
To je překvapení. To se podíváme, co máme v krabičkách.
It's a surprise. Let's have a look. Of course, everything is described. There is even a strand of hair. It was cut after her death on January 21st, 1862. She had dark black hair, but it has faded, so this dark brown colour doesn't quite match. But as the poet František Halas described in his collection Our Lady Božena Němcová, she had raven hair. Apart from the famous writer's personal object, there are various editions of the grandmother signed by Božena Němcová herself, and of course a rich collection of correspondence that has survived.
Vydání babiček podepsané samotnou Boženou Němcovou a samozřejmě bohatou korespondenci, která se dochovala.
One item that did not survive is the birth record of Božena Němcová, who is thought to have been born in Vienna in February 1820 to one Johann Pankel of Lower Austria and Teresia Novotna, a maid of Bohemian origin. But other theories place her birth several years earlier and out of wedlock to a duchess. Whatever the case, Božena Němcová, whose arranged marriage in her late teens to a customs officer 15 years her senior, did not prove to be a happy one. If I could so choose, I'd wish to be born again in 200 years, or later, for I don't know if until then there will be such a world in which I would be pleased to live.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Now it's time for another episode in our series, Czech Made.
Czech Made.
Few Czechoslovak products have been as internationally successful as the Java motorcycle. For a period of more than a decade, the company's models dominated their respective international markets, while at the same time helping Czechoslovak racers win several competitions. Despite a fall from grace in the last decades of the 20th century, Java continues to exist as a brand, and its machines are still produced at home and abroad. The story of Java begins with its founder, František Janeček. Born in 1878, Janeček was technically gifted and originally wanted to study medicine. However, he ended up opting for an education in engineering upon advice from his father. He first studied mechanics at the Prague Technical School before moving on to the Berlin College of Engineering. After finishing his studies, Janeček returned to Prague. There he worked under one of the great Bohemian industrialists of the 19th century, Emil Kolben. The latter was so impressed with Janeček's work that he appointed the 23-year-old as manager of a new factory in the Netherlands. Janeček decided to end his collaboration with Kolben in 1909 and chose to start his own company in Prague. Over the following 10 years, the engineer would develop several unique designs, securing over 60 patents. His inventions range from the pneumograph, an early form of a multiple ad screen, to hand grenades. It was in 1927 that Janeček saw the opportunity to turn an old dynamite factory into a motorcycle production facility. He drew on his knowledge of engineering and his experience with mass production techniques in factories, basing his new motorcycle designs around an existing 498cc engine made by a German company called Wanderer. It is from the combination of the words Janeček and Wanderer that the Java got its name. Production started in 1927, and the first Java motorcycle to come out of Janeček's factory was the Wanderer model, with a four-cycle engine that packed 18 horsepower. It was considered to be a reliable machine, but was expensive and did not garner much success. The economic fallout of the Great Depression soon called for the production of a cheaper model. The answer came in 1932, with the introduction of the Java 175. At 3.6 kilowatts, its engine was considerably less powerful than that of its predecessor, but the 175 model made up for this with its relative lightness and was capable of achieving speeds of up to 80 kilometers per hour. with the marketing slogan Lepší stroj, méně peněz, or a better machine for less money, the Java 175 was above all cheaper and quickly became the company's first great success. Selling over 27,000 models, Java would continue to produce the 175 until 1946. Janáček's ability in marketing went beyond catchy slogans. At the Prague exhibition in 1939, he showed that the best way to attract a customer was to pull them into the action, as this quote from the exhibition stand shows.
You can spend an hour or more at the Java stand and discover more and more things about our new models, their variety, and the many photographs of sporting trophies won by our machines. Every visitor can measure the components of our motorcycles, check the X-ray images of our metals, and look at how the engine functions and sounds.
Just 2 years after the exhibition, in March 1941, Karel Janáček died of lung cancer. It is said that his last words were, "Keep working, I am departing now." The business was taken over by Janáček's son, František Karel. Java motorcycle production continued after the end of World War II with new models such as the Java 250 and 350, also known as Berák, springing up. The company was nationalised after the communist takeover in 1948, but this did not immediately bring a slowdown in quality. The communist regime was aware of the great commercial success that the company's motorcycles and the money and reputation that they brought through sales abroad. It was in the 1950s that the most famous Java models were introduced. These were the upgraded Java 250 and 350, both known as Kivačka or Swinger. Known for their ease of maintenance and high reliability, the Kivačky could reach speeds of up to 120 kilometers an hour. Their nickname was based on the fact that they had rear suspension springs. The Kivačka was exported to more than 100 countries across the world. Production was also expanded into India in the 1960s through the company Ideal Jawa India, which set up its factory in Mysore. This facility seems to have produced the motorbikes as late as 1996.
Není divu, že po skvělém loňském vítězství československých strojů jedou také Belgičané, Švýcaři, Rumuni a desítky dalších zahraničních účastníků.
The Pera, Kivačka and Panelka models were the most popular of the Java bikes, and their racing models also brought in many victories in racing championships. The company's exports reached a peak in the 1950s, with the most important export destination being the Soviet Union. In the 1960s, Java saw its centre of production move from modern facilities in Prague's Pankrác and Libeň to factories in Prague's Strašnice and the original production facility in Týnec nad Sázavou. The decade also saw the next generation of the 250 and 350 models, the automatic. The 350 version came in several further sports versions, featuring increased performance and an original clutch solution. The highbrow Californian model was developed especially for the export market. The Swedish Army also received a special military design. The company's executive director František Hruška told Czech Radio.
Ano, je to vojenský motocykl, který Java vyráběla na přelomu 50. a 60. let.
Java made and exported this model, known as the Libeňák, to the Swedish Army in the 1950s and 1960s. We have documentation that it was in service by the Swedes as late as the year 2000. It had an aluminum engine, just like those in the racing Javas, but it also had a rather exceptional feature, skis. The rider had two skis that he could deploy and put his feet into in order to have more balance while riding the bike in rough terrain.
Líže umožňují používat motocykl v každém terénu. V blátě, písku a především na sněhu a zledovatělých vozovkách. Na Nikolajce seznámil McPherson naše závodníky s technikou...
However, as time went on, Java found it increasingly harder to innovate fast enough and started facing tougher and tougher competition as Japanese and German manufacturers started coming up with increasingly more complex designs that provided greater performance. Attempts to keep up with the competition were made during the 1970s and 1980s with the 634 and 638 models. both of whose engines received a significant upgrade in horsepower. These were also attempts at modernising the motorcycle's design. What seems to have also contributed to Jawa's downfall was Czechoslovakia's satellite status towards the USSR. While on one hand the company benefited from what was essentially a guaranteed large export market, the demands of this market for reliable, cheap and uncomplicated motorcycles meant that there was little tolerance for experimenting with new models. That said, there were also lasting benefits to the simple but reliable design. Pavel Suchý, who used his 1978 Jawa 350 to tour around the world, told Czech Radio in 2019 that the motorcycle's reliability proved particularly effective in harsh conditions.
As far as the motorbike is concerned, I based my choice on this reason. This bike was specifically designed for the Soviet Union. There's nothing more demanding than a Soviet villager. Such a machine has to be able to survive anything. It has to be able to best the Gobi Desert in Mongolia, for example. When I rode through that desert, I actually came across several more modern types of motorcycles. So many of them looked very worn down. It made me wonder whether it would actually be more brave to ride through that desert in a modern bike.
The company sold over 3 million machines by 1987. But once the Eastern Bloc fell, Jawa suddenly lost the vast majority of its export markets. Financial difficulties plagued the Czech brand until 1996, when it entered into a strategic partnership with hydraulics and aerotech manufacturer Jihostroj AS. Today, Jawa Moto, as the company is now called, still produces the 350-type motorcycles with two-tier engines, such as the retro-styled Jawa 350-640. Jawa trade manager Jiří Kraft took Czech Radio on a tour of the facility.
Since 2004, we've tried to offer 650 and 660cc motorcycles. However, recently it has become more profitable for us to focus on 350cc motorcycles. Currently, we are therefore producing the Jawa 350 OHC with a four-tier engine, and then the sportier version, the Jawa 350 Special, which is designed to evoke the 1960s and the style of the famous Jawa race bikes.
The Jawa factory, he said, still rolls out several thousands of motorcycles a year.
Máme v současnosti dva způsoby výroby motocyklů. Jedno je opravdu ta výrobní linka.
We currently have two ways of how we make our motorcycles. One is the standard production line model, through which we make the two-stroke engine 350s. Then we have special manufacturing strands where we build the entire motorbike from scratch. We can make between 1,500 and 2,500 Jawa 350s a year. These are especially popular in Central and South America.
Five years ago, the Indian producer Mahindra agreed to conclude a license agreement with Czech Jawa for the use of the brand, and manufacturing in India was restarted. Aside from its continued production, the Jawa remains a culture symbol in many parts of the world today. In Turkey, for example, the reliable vehicles are often passed down from father to son.
There are people who keep Jawas as a family heritage. They spend a lot of money repairing the old Jawas. However, they would rather do that than get rid of their grandfather's old motorbike.
There are also dedicated workshops which specialise in restoring the old machines, as one Turkish engineer told Czech Radio.
I get about 10 calls a day asking me to help repair their Jawa. I can make about 90% of the Jawa's bike parts, with the exception of the engine. This includes reflectors, brakes, chrome exhausts, and more. I sell most of the parts to the Czech Republic.
In the Czech Republic, the Jawa is, of course, still very popular as well, with several motorcycle clubs meeting each year to compare their Jawa machines. The company will celebrate 92 years of existence this August 17th, while its international glory days may seem long gone, as a symbol it is still very much alive.
Dva roky jezdím bez nehod, s větrem se honím o závod. Na moje obutí je spolehnutí a motor má vždy správný chod. Asfalt mi šumí pod koli, kličkují mezi výmoly. Cítím se jako drak, však vždycky jen tak, jak předpisy mi dovolí. Tak já pádím.
And with that lovely song, whose video actually features a Yava motorbike, we end that feature. You can find out more about famous Czech inventions and products on our website radio.cz. Just look at the headline, Czech Made. Also, if you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on our Facebook and Twitter pages. We'll certainly be very glad to hear from you. But that is all for now from me, Tom McEncrow, and the team here. Thank you very much for joining us, and have a lovely Easter.